The bridegroom is coming. And in a weird sort of way, this seems to be bad news for our fallen flesh. Because when he comes back, that means the party's over. There's no more carousing, no more illicit pleasures, no more bucket lists to fill. And there's a part of us that mourns the loss of sin and the opportunity to sin. It's remarkably difficult to fully believe that what God has in store for us in heaven is actually better than this life and even more fun than our sins. It's hard to believe that if we are called home or the Lord returns, that we won't be missing out on something. But of course, it's actually worse than that because there's a real threat here. It could be that this life isn't simply over, but that it is replaced with punishment, with eternal fire. We're told there are five virgins that were shut out. They were shut out because they gave up hope. They stopped believing, if they ever believed in the first place, that the bridegroom was coming. Whatever the oil is in this parable, whatever this parable is meant to convey, it seems to mean this, that not everybody gets into the marriage feast. Everyone living in this living death, everyone alive but afflicted by the fallen flesh, is caught by surprise, is sleeping. But some are not just surprised, they're actually amazed that the bridegroom has actually come. They've made no preparation for the end. They have not repented, they do not believe. And there does come a time when it's too late, when the gospel is no longer preached and the door is shut, just like the door of the ark. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man comes. Of course, it's easy in your mind, well, I'll repent later. But you know what? Later may never come. There is a point of no return, a time when you can't get oil or anything, when the doors will be shut forever. And it's easy to think that if everyone is doing this, you can get away with it too. Five virgins fall asleep and are shut out. Repent, because the bridegroom is coming. We're told that the foolish virgins said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out." Notice what they said. They did not say, "We are out of oil," or "Our lamps are out." They are going out. They had trimmed their lamps. Their lamps were low, but they were burning. They hadn't brought more oil. They're focused on their oil because they don't trust the cry that the bridegroom was really coming. They thought they'd have to wait some more. They had everything they needed to greet the bridegroom and go in. I mean, their lamps were burning, even though they were low, but they refused to believe that it was enough. They sought to prepare themselves to meet him by their own means. They didn't dare to meet him in their foolishness, and as such, they were damned. Now look at the wise. They had brought oil, but just like the other five virgins, they fell asleep too. Who knows how much oil they burned through while they were sleeping, while the bridegroom was delayed. The wise virgins look like unprepared, unworthy fools to us, to the world. I mean, did they burn through their spare oil while they slept? Again, who burns oil? Who keeps a light on while they're sleeping? Except for little kids. But their lamps also might be going out. But the difference is, these wise virgins are wise because they're focused on the bridegroom. Even though he's been long delayed, and maybe they've been awakened before and disappointed, they still believe he's coming. They believe the cry that goes out. And so they rise up to meet him with rejoicing, despite their failure to keep watch. They don't look to their lamps. They look to him. He keeps their lamps burning, for they trust that he is good and he loves them and he will bring them in. To trust in Christ looks to the world like foolishness, but again, it's wisdom. Lamps and oil, whether that means faith or good works, either way, they can't save you. Christ saves you through faith, and faith produces good works. But it is Christ who saves you. He saves you by his grace, won through his self-sacrifice on the cross in your place. And he forgives the sleepers, like these 10 virgins, like his disciples in Gethsemane, and those who are afraid of death and love this life. The end of all things always looks to the world like chaos and terror. Just turn on the History Channel, you'll see this. But for the Christian, the end is joyful. I present before you an example today. Consider the case of Pastor Philip Nikolai. His family, friends, and parishioners in Westphalia in Germany were dying from the plague between July of 1597 and January of 1598. So we're talking about 6 months. Pastor Nikolai buried no less than 1,400 of his parishioners, 300 in the month of July alone. He could have fled the plague, but he didn't. He stayed in order to comfort the survivors and to do his duty to the dead. He prayed and preached. He absolved and celebrated. And he laid Christians to rest with prayer and the word of God. He gave witness to the hope that was in them. I mean, this is a story that's equal to the martyrs of the early church. But it was during that time that Pastor Nikolai also wrote a book. Of all the things, it's called The Mirror of Joy. It was about the joy that God gives to his people in Christ, even in the midst of tragedy and sadness. The devil played a dirge, but Nikolai praised God and rejoiced. And it's in this book that he also wrote three poems. Two of these he set to music. The first we have in English as How Lovely Shines the Morning Star, which is a great hymn of Epiphany. The other hymn, we just sang it. Wake, awake, for night is flying. The welcome voice, the voice announcing the coming of the bridegroom at that time in Westphalia, was the plague calling God's people home. Today it might be old age. It might be disease. It might be a guy that walks through those doors with a gun. But may God in his mercy instill in us the same eagerness for our own last day. May we rest in his forgiveness and grace and be eager for the completion to come, because the bridegroom is coming. One way or another, this world, its injustice, its pain, its suffering, our sin cannot last. The bridegroom is coming. Rejoice. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.